You know, a lot of it's Shark Week around town, around the Discovery Channel. Happens every year, I believe, about this time. So there's going to be a lot of shark stuff on the John Landecker program this evening. There will be shark movies. There will be shark songs. There will be stupid shark dad jokes. Really, we're going all out. But first, we're going to go over to the Shedd Aquarium, where we are going to speak now with Heather Urbaniak. Heather, hello, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, let me make sure I got this right. You're a senior aquariet? Is that the right term?
It's an aquarist. My mom calls it an aquarius, but it is a senior aquarist. So, an unusual job title, but
I got to be honest with you. I've never heard that term before. It's a new one on me. Although
we're
understand
the people who care for the fish and sharks at Shedd. That's what our job titles are.
Although I understand it as the dawning of the age of aquarists. Well, certainly this week, if there ever was a time for that, it would be during Shark Week. So, over there at the Shedd, you know, I just cannot believe how much people are fascinated by sharks. Every year, there's a Shark Week, and it gets unbelievable attention. What do you attribute to that particular the shark, other than the movies that have been made about them, starting with Jaws? What is the attraction? What is the attraction to sharks?
Well, you know, I think we as humans were attracted to something. They're a little scary. They're a little incredible, and you know, large apex predators in the ocean. Not all of them are. The vast majority of them are pretty small. Although they're not pretty small, but not the ones you always hear about.
Yeah.
But you know, I find them fascinating because they are so misunderstood. I love misunderstood animals because you get at my job, I get to know them better. And each of them are unique individuals, like you and me. They prefer certain food items. They like to eat certain ways. They're all different. They're not just swimming drones trying to, you know, hunt people down in the ocean, as some films might have you believe.
Right. But is it true that they're always moving? I mean, that they can't stop, even, I guess, to quote-unquote sleep? Is that true?
So it depends on the species. So there are some species who cannot stop swimming to breathe. Those are called obligate ram ventilators, right?
Gotcha.
So they have to keep swimming through the water in order for, like, water will basically flow through their mouth and over their gills. So that is how oxygen is taken up by their gills, is by that water flowing over their gills by them swimming. They don't have any ability, like your fish at home, to pump water over its gills, how you see its gills kind of move up and down. Ram ventilators can't do that. So your big sharks, like your white sharks, your tiger sharks, bull sharks, those guys are all obligate ram ventilators. But then, you know, you have species, like if you come to Shedd and you see our wild reef habitat, a lot of times you'll see on the bottom our wobbegong sharks, our zebra sharks. They're laying on the bottom a big part of the time. So they actually have a little, if they weren't supposed to be there, we'd freak out about that.
Yeah, I think so.
They have muscles in their cheeks that help them pull pumpers, and they have the ability to breathe while laying down. So it just depends on the species. It dictates how they breathe, if they have to swim or not. But not all of them do.
I knew you'd have the answer to that, and we're going to do some more about Shark Week, and specifically what the Shedd is doing about it, when we come back on 720 WGN. Let's move on to why these sharks are so misunderstood. What's the deal?
Like we were just talking about, I think they are misunderstood because they are. The only time we ever hear about them is when there's a shark attack. And, you know, worldwide, globally, last year, there were only 10 fatalities from shark attacks. I always like to remind people that, you know, in our appetite for seafood, we kill 100 million sharks every year.
Yeah.
So the much scarier animal is a human. And it's
no
good
doubt.
To remind people that, because yeah. they are very misunderstood. You know, the vast majority of shark encounters that people have, they don't know they're having, and that's okay. Most times when you are at a beach, they're in the water with you. You just don't know it, especially if you are swimming near a fishing pier or things like that. There are sharks over there. So, and I think people might be maybe kind of bothered by it, but I think it's really cool that they don't know about it, and that's okay. So that's the best thing for sharks. But we don't hear about those, right?
No.
It's not when there's, you know, we only hear about it when there's an attack, unfortunately.
Well, what is the shed? What's up with the shed this week in relationship to the Shark Week and what you're doing to educate us all about these creatures?
Yeah, so every week is Shark Week, it said. We always like to say that. But this week we have, and actually, you know, all the time we have on Sundays and Saturdays, and actually in the summers on Wednesdays, we have a really cool 75-minute shark feeding tour where a guide will take guests in front of the scenes and talk about our collection of sharks that live at Shed. And then afterwards, everybody gets to come behind the scenes, and we show them around and do feedings with them and just show everybody kind of how we take care of the sharks that live with us at Shed. So it's a really nice way of people, you know, getting up close and personal with the shark and also seeing that, like, you know, they're not as scary as you would think.
Right. Right.
And the people who are coming there are fans of sharks. They're there. They like sharks. So that's a really fun thing that, Shed has going on this week. We also have, like, you know, virtual dive with shark experiences, like in our 4D theater and,
wait a minute. Can I ask you some more about that?
Virtual reality. Virtual reality stuff. So it's where you can, you know, dive with sharks. There's also stuff with virtual reality where there's manta ray stuff, which is basically a big flat shark. The rays are, same thing as sharks, they're just differently shaped. So lots of stuff going on at Shed
This multi-sensory 4D experience and this virtual experience, is this, do you wear like a headset or is it, and you're like
well,
in the...
We have a 4D theater at Shed, so there's that experience where you can actually just sit in the seat at a theater and there's, you know, you get sprayed in the face by water and you get that kind of stuff going on. But if you're into that whole thing, and then there's also an actual true, like, VR experience where you put the goggles on, you sit in a pod, and you actually... have a virtual reality experience, which is pretty cool too. So,
that sounds fantastic.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
You don't have to go anywhere to go diving with sharks.
I guess that's right. Right here that Shed researchers and volunteers aided in an analysis of over 1,500 hours of video survey footage to contribute to a critical global assessment of shark conservation management practices. What are some of those management practices that need to be implemented if they're not already, and what can people do about that?
Yeah, so our director of marine research, I think you talked to him a couple years ago. He actually is in charge of that project you were just reading about. It's called Global Finprint. And what they're doing around the world is trying to figure out the best way to protect sharks. And in order to do that, you kind of got to figure out what works in order to protect sharks. Yeah. So what they did was they go around to marine protected areas, and we set up a ton of cameras underwater, leave them down there for an hour, and then collect all the information. I mean, this is like hundreds of hours of footage all over. So, like, I actually was part of this this past spring down in Florida. We were in the Keys. Where you set up a bunch of cameras and just leave them for an hour and then go back, and the 1,500 hours is going back and reviewing all the footage of this stuff. So what they've discovered with part of this Global Finprint project is that they, the best places that sharks exist are in these marine protected areas. So they set up cameras in non-protected areas and in protected areas, and you have more healthy shark populations in these protected areas
and also places that limit shark fishing through catch limits or gear restrictions, things like that, have better shark protection. And, like, you know, it's now we actually have scientific data saying this is how you can best protect sharks. So it's great because now, like, you can bring that to governments looking to protect them and say, here is how the best way to do it, because we actually have data saying marine protected areas and, you know, limiting shark fishing activities helps protect them. So it's a really amazing project. We're really proud to be a part of it. It's incredible what we've discovered and the things you get to see. So, that's one of the projects that we're involved in at Shed to help, you know, really make a difference is by making you can give these recommendations to policymakers to try and make a difference to protect these animals.
You know, we're all a part of a food chain, and I like seafood, and I was very interested in this Select Sustainable Seafood that I was reading about on the release from the Shed. Could you explain that, what the sustainable seafood is as opposed to just plain seafood, and how you can how you can spot it in the store, so to speak?
Yeah, well, and, you know, sustainable seafood is, you know, and usually when you do go places, things are labeled in a box or labeled at a store. It does say sustainably caught. But what it is, you know, healthy populations of animals in the wild. They come from a well-managed fishery. They're caught or farmed using environmentally friendly practices, things like that. And, you know, generally the fishermen are using certain gear to only target certain species so they don't get the bycatch. Bycatch is basically accidentally caught animals. And also leaving animals there to ensure that there are future generations of this. You know, it's really a challenge sometimes to try and figure out when you are shopping, when you're grocery shopping for food, like how to pick out a sustainably caught fish over, you know, what's a good choice. So there's actually this really cool app on your phone. It's called the Seafood Watch app. It's actually Monterey Bay Aquarium puts it together. It's really easy. You just enter whatever fish it is you're thinking about buying, and it'll tell you if it's a good choice, a bad choice, and then provide you with alternatives. And it's a nice way to try and make an impact, because that is a huge way that you know, we are impacting our oceans. You know, I think a lot of people think, well, I'm not affecting sharks. I don't eat shark. Well, you are by the choices in the seafood that you're eating.
Right.
Because bycatch are accidental catches. And, you know, I said earlier about how we kill 100 million sharks in our appetite for seafood. Half of that 100 million, 50 million sharks are bycatch every year. So if we can, you know, insist that we support sustainable fishermen, we will have less of that bycatch and ensure more animals are actually staying in the ocean and not accidentally caught. So that is, it isn't just sharks that are caught as bycatch, it's anything that lives in the ocean. So
that's why sustainable fishing and also, you know, farming, you know, I think a lot of people always think fish farms are bad, no matter what, they're bad. And, you know, the best shrimp you can get in the world is U.S. farm-raised shrimp. So just because it's farmed doesn't mean it's bad. Sure, there's some bad fish farms out there, but, you know, there are farms that are trying to do the right thing and be environmentally friendly, and are the best thing you can get is a U.S. farm-raised shrimp. So it's pretty interesting. But,
well,
yeah,
so
sustainable seafood will make a big impact for wild shark populations, too, even though it's kind of associated that way.
Right. Hey, could you give me the name of that app again so I can write it down? What's that app that you were talking about?
Yeah, it is. It's called the Seafood Watch app.
Okay.
It's through Monterey Bay Aquarium. So it
All right.
It's really nice, very simple, because it is.
Yep.
It's. I know I've done it where I'm just like, I don't know what to buy. And there's places that say that say they're sustainable, and you don't always know, you know. So,
well, Heather, I want to thank you for spending this time with us this evening. I've learned a lot, and all the best to you and everybody over there at the Shed, and have a very successful Every Day is Shark Day. There you go.